Thor: Love and Thunder is slated to hit theaters July 8th, 2022. With that being said, Doctor Strange: Multiverse of Madness is set to come out May 7th. So there's not too much time between May 7th and July 8th. Like, it's really a short gap of content, as we still have Moon Knight that's coming out on a weekly basis, even though I heard that show's not performing as well that Marvel will hope, as far as just streaming wise and audience, like the audience base or whatever. I guess the audience is the same thing, but basically the show's not doing good with viewership. And I'm not saying they're going to pull the plug mid-show. I mean, who does that? But they're going to let the show play out. So that's probably going to hold us over on our Marvel content for the month of June. But July, at the start of July, the Thor: Love and Thunder movie comes out. But everybody's going to be watching the Multiverse of Madness movie through June. So what I'm trying to say is, it's really not that much space that's not taken up by the MCU in these next 3 months, as they're not really letting their foot off the pedal, because with other movie companies and studios, sometimes they reorder their releases, their blockbuster quote-unquote releases, to try to get that number one spot without certain type of competition. It's just not like the NBA playoffs, where you have to play the best of the best to get to the top. Sometimes when you're putting out a blockbuster movie, you can wait a little bit and slate your movie in a certain time slot to disregard competition. As you can always push a movie back a year, you can push a movie back 4 months. I mean, there's also financial ramifications for doing that. But at the end of the day, the perception for some of these movie studios is more important, because that also helps out the bottom line. But what I wanted to get into is that the Love and Thunder movie is going to be a whole new, I'm not going to say Ragnarok movie, but it's going to be a whole new perspective on Thor, because technically he's retiring. So what we're going to do is we're going to have a little watch along, because if you didn't know, this is a Spotify exclusive video version of the episode, well, segment. And we're going to be having a watch along of the Thor: Love and Thunder teaser trailer. So as we play it, I'm probably going to stop it, speak on certain points. I know certain like behind the scenes info about the movie. And when I say behind the scenes, it's not like I'm literally behind the scenes getting like illegal information or whatever, but I'm getting like information from literally just doing my research. Which, speaking of online research, it took me far too long to figure out if the Multiverse of Madness date was either May 7th or May 6th. Like, everybody's like, oh, it was originally supposed to be May 7th, 2021, but that was before being pushed back to March 25th, 2022, but now it's May 7th, 2022. So I'm like, what type of information are you? I literally typed in Multiverse of Madness release date, but I know y'all don't want to hear that. Y'all came for the teaser trailer breakdown or reaction, quote unquote reaction, because I don't have like a camera set up, which I'm thinking about getting a camera set up. Click my link tree in my bio. Let me know on one of my social medias. What do you think about that whole situation with the video exclusive aspect of it? It's still in beta, so I don't want to put too much stress on the video servers, because it's like this whole different way I upload to get the video version. So I don't know how that works. I probably have to talk to the people ask them. But would y'all prefer me to have a camera? And that's not just for trailer reactions, it's also for playing the gameplay walkthrough, which a lot of people support that. I'm definitely appreciative of. I'm not going to spend too long on this, but just wanted to show my gratitude towards the people who actually support the video segments, because there are a lot of y'all as far as the Spotify exclusive segments, because technically the other platforms do get the audio version, but you definitely don't get the full experience without coming to Spotify when it comes to the video version of it, because it's kind of like watching a movie with only the sound. Like, there's a whole different aspect that you're missing out on. So that's kind of how I put it for people who want to watch this or listen along to the trailer while I break it down. There's nothing wrong with that, but I'm just saying you're missing out on a different aspect of the experience, another element that adds to the overall experience. So with that being said, we're going to get into this teaser trailer for this movie slated to come out July 8th, and we're going to get into that right now. First thing I noticed off the bat is I love how YouTube just completely did away with the dislike button. Like, it's literally up there, but you can't see the count. So it kind of takes away the urge for people just to dislike. It's like a dislike spree or whatever, is when a bunch of people just get together and dislike the video for no reason. I'm glad that YouTube found some type of way to address that, because I feel like there's a healthier way to go forward on the platform, and I'm glad they took that route. So anyways, let's get into the trailer. Oh, right off the bat, this is Chris Hemsworth's son. So this is his actual son running in the video. So that's a little fun fact for you. But anyways, let's get into it.
His hands were once used for battle.
So right off the bat, they're using Thor training montage to show that he's lost the in-game weight, which for some people was definitely a bummer, as they was wanting to see Thor at more of, I don't know what the word is. Basically, they wanted to see overweight Thor, which I don't know if overweight is the right word, but considering the body you're looking at now, pause, the overweight is definitely applicable in the in-game scenario, as he was definitely on that James Harden diet. But anyways, let's keep going on in the video.
Now they're but humble tools for peace. I need to figure out exactly who I am.
So if you couldn't tell,
exactly who I am.
I think in Infinity War is when Rocket gave him a new eye, if I'm not mistaken. No, I think it was Endgame. I don't know. It was definitely Infinity War, because I think they went on a whole little journey to get the new axe that you just saw with Groot's hand holding it up. Yeah, that axe with his hand holding it up. So basically, that's when Rocket gave him like an eye. It was some type of mechanical eye. So I think the eye colors are different. Well, they're supposed to be different. I don't know. Whatever. Maybe he changed the eye color, because it was like a mechanical eye. And he was like, where'd you store the eye? And he was like, Rocket was saying that you don't want to know. If you don't know what I'm talking about, it's Rocket from Guardians of the Galaxy. And also, to add to these little Snapple type facts that I'm giving, I'm a huge Marvel fan, so it's not like it's just coming out of the blue. I'm always passionate about Marvel. Marvel movies is definitely something I live for, to go see day in and day out. So even though it doesn't come out every day, but y'all get the point. Follow. Be like, keep up. No, just playing. All right, let's get into it. And then of course you got the logo, which is pretty nice. Apparently on his hat it says Strongest Avenger. I'm not gonna replay it because it's just like a small fact. But anyways, let's keep going.
I want to choose my own path.
Oh, so the Guardians of the Galaxy is supposed to be in like the beginning of this movie. Wait, I don't want to spoil it. Yeah, I'm not gonna give spoilers. So, I mean, in the beginning is not too much of a spoiler. But basically, don't expect the Guardians of the Galaxy to have like a huge role, because I believe that Thor Love and Thunder is really supposed to be a solo. It's supposed to be Thor's first good solo movie. And when I say solo, that means without the help of Hulk, without the help of Loki, without the help of, you know, his supporting cast from the previous two movies. Well, in Ragnarok, because, you know, you had Hulk. But some of the new characters from that movie is going to be implemented into this movie heavily. So, but all I'm going to say is don't get used to Thor with Guardians of the Galaxy, because technically this is Thor's movie. So
live in the moment. superheroing days are over.
Got our first look at Korg. That was nice. All these locations are super nice. I really like the type of... like, the cinematography, and I mean, I know it's probably CGI, of course. Like, that's probably a whole green screen that they're standing in front of. So, I mean, obviously, you know, none of this is real. I don't know if I have to clarify that for some people. But the green screen can be obviously... well, it can be obvious that the green screen is being used in certain scenarios, which, you know, I think movie makers are like, they don't like when the use of a green screen is obvious, but here it is. So anyways, let's keep going.
Remember what I told you? You ever feel lost?
So Valkyrie from Ragnarok is going to be King Valkyrie in this movie. And as you can see, she's definitely bored of her role, because if you don't remember in Endgame, Thor was like, I'm definitely not fit for this. I mean, physically he wasn't even fit. Not just playing with you. So technically Valkyrie seemed like the best option to run Asgard. So right now in this movie is showing the progression of that, as she's just the head of Asgard now, and she has to deal with all of the boring like meetings type stuff, which is very interesting to see her face. I mean, look at her face. Does it look like somebody that enjoys being at these meetings? Like, she's really looking outside like, I would rather be anywhere but here.
Just look into the eyes of the people that you love. Not me.
What? Just listening.
I'm not gonna lie, that was one of the most anticlimactic, I think that's the word, I think it is, anticlimactic ways to end a trailer that I've ever experienced. Because how many times are we gonna show people holding the hammer until it just gets stale? Like, when Captain America did it, that should have been the last time that holding the hammer from, like, somebody holding the hammer other than Thor was a big deal. Because when Vision did it, it was like, oh, okay, he can hold the hammer. You know, not really too much of a big deal. But the biggest thing was, when is Captain America going to hold the shield? I mean, not hold the shield, hold the Mjolnir. And when he actually ended up wielding Mjolnir and Endgame, that was like one of the biggest moments in, like, I don't want to be dramatic, but like in movie history, kind of like everybody, like, when I went to go see Endgame, the audience that I was watching with, just, it was a theater in there the whole time. Like, you miss multiple lines from different parts of the movie because people was literally just cheering at the screen. Like, it was one of those type of audiences. So I'm incredibly, like, I was like perplexed at how like extroverted everybody was in that theater. It was like they was just having the time of their lives. And when Captain America wielded Mjolnir against like Thanos, everybody just lost their mind. You would have thought it was a bunch of kids in that theater. And then here I am, just like, wow, I thought I was a Marvel fan. But anyways, with Jane Foster, which I think is the fictional name for the character, wielding Mjolnir, the backstory behind that kind of gets into spoiler territory. All I'm gonna say is they do a pretty good job in the movie. Well, the movie hasn't came out yet, so I don't know if I should say that. Basically, you will understand, like, her getting these powers isn't just gonna be out of the blue. Let me just say that. So, as far as the version of women Thor, it's left to be seen how powerful she is, as Thor had a huge nerf in Avengers as far as like his capabilities of taking out certain things. Because I mean, if you think about Avengers, I mean, they did use him to take out the big guns, and they was like, oh, he's the strongest Avenger. But when it came to Loki, you know, sometimes he turned into Batman, you know, just fighting the Joker or a person who jokes a lot and didn't really, you know, he didn't really have hands like that, and he was getting beat up by Loki. Anyways, that's just a whole nother tangent. But basically, the whole holding the hammer from somebody that's not Thor, the trick has got old, and I'm like, why would you end this otherwise magnificent trailer off of Jane holding the hammer? Like, I feel like there was better ways that they could have concluded this trailer. Like, maybe just show her flying while she's catching the hammer and she's landing, because that would be a little different, because every time we've seen the hammer being shown to be wielded by somebody else who wasn't Thor, they were standing. So having somebody, like having her fly in while the hammer's flying to her, could have been like a different type of reveal that she can, you know, hold the hammer. Because other than that, I don't see any other, like, if she was in the air, if Jane Foster would have called the hammer and it went to her while she was in the air and she had like lightning behind her, like, so you can barely see her, like when the lightning hit you can get like a clear picture of her, that could have been like the screenshot of the trailer. But now we just have her standing there looking like, is the CGI effects working? Like, if she was in the sky, it would have been a better type of feel, I feel like, because then it would have showed off her ability to fly, which she can obviously fly in this movie. And she would have been the first one to be in the air to be revealed with the hammer, instead of just on the ground standing there like, am I in the right pose? You know, so it was just kind of anticlimactic in the way they ended the trailer. But overall, I feel like the trailer was, I feel like it was decent. I'm still more looking forward to Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness, because they basically come out in like the same time period. Is a month is not enough for Multiverse of Madness to do its damage as far as like financial gain. But maybe they think Thor is not going to be a good movie. I think that Thor is definitely a wild card, because it could come out, people could hate it, people could love it. Because I just found out that people dislike Ragnarok. Like, there's people out there that dislike Ragnarok, which, like, you can dislike a movie. Obviously, you don't have to like what everybody else likes. But I feel like Ragnarok was pretty solid from Thor, given his first two movies. Like, that was a pretty significant jump from Love and Thunder to, well, no, from Thor the Dark World to Love and Thunder. Like, well, not Love and Thunder. Ragnarok. I'm getting these movies all mixed up. That's the whole thing about having four movies. You start getting everything mixed up. Anyways. Oh, also, that's another big deal. So Thor is the first MCU hero to have his fourth movie, which is a huge accomplishment. I don't know if people know how big that is. Like, actors don't last for that long. Like, you get three movies, and either the studio's done with you or the fans are done with you. And in this case, it's neither, because fans love Ragnarok. They want to see that type of Thor more. Thor's been in he's been in Avengers. He's been in Dark World. He's been in Age of Ultron. He was in, that was it. Yeah, I think that was it. Then we had Infinity War and Endgame. I'm trying to think. Oh, he was in the Doctor Strange, the second movie. No. I think that was Ragnarok. Yeah, I believe that was Ragnarok, because that's when Loki was like messing with Doctor Strange and he put him like in the infinite loop. So Chris Hemsworth has played Thor in several movies. I think it's several. Hold on, let me go back. Thor the Dark World, Avengers, Infinity War, Endgame. Did he cameo in any other movies? He wasn't in Civil War. I don't know why. I guess that would have made the airplane sequence significantly boring, as it was, Thor would have just wiped the floor with everybody, except for Wanda, which, look out for Wanda. Nah, let me chill. I'm not trying to, you know, all I'm going to say, no, I'm not going to say it. So basically, that's it for my Love and Thunder teaser trailer breakdown, before I give any spoilers, because of course I know like things behind the scenes from just watching and researching, but for the sake of the movie experience, I feel like it wouldn't be right for me to spoil that for fans. But if you do want to listen to my version of just spoiling everything, go to Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness Mass Effect, and then the latest one, like whatever one I put out the latest about the trailer, then I would click that, because I think I go into detail. I think every trailer I've reviewed from Doctor Strange, I've just talked blatantly about spoilers, but I've always given like a pre-warning. Like, I wasn't just like, oh, this person dies, that person dies. I always gave like a spoiler. Then I got into, you know, my behind the scenes like knowledge. So for Thor, just look out for this to be a great story. Let me just say that, because I'm not trying to, y'all probably like, this man's about to spoil the movie. I'm not. That's basically it for me. So click my link tree in my bio. Let me know on one of my social medias. What do you think of Thor Love and Thunder, the teaser trailer? And are you excited to see the movie when it eventually comes out July 8th?